In the new book, What Liberal Media? The Truth About Bias in the News, Eric Alterman responds to Bernard Goldberg and others who argue that the media have a liberal bias. Alterman thinks that idea is just a myth, and it's a myth that empowers conservatives to control the debate in the United States to the point where liberals can't even hope for a fair shake anymore. Alterman writes the Stop the Press's media column for The Nation and the Altercation weblog for MSNBC.com. He's also the author of a book about media pundits called Sound and Fury, The Making of the Punditocracy. I asked him to describe the bias that he perceives in the news.
I basically share the view that many conservatives have that most elite journalists are social liberals. But I feel that they're economic conservatives. In fact, I think I demonstrate with evidence, which is something some of these other books don't bother with, that they're economic conservatives. But on the social liberal side, there's a whole conservative structure and an economic structure in the media that keeps journalists' biases in check. So you hear very little of them. In fact, more often than not, I think journalists bend over backwards to denude themselves of their biases because they're trying to be objective. With the economic biases, there's no such structure. Everything about journalism, the fact that we have a strong conservative movement, the fact that we have a very tiny number of enormous corporate owners, the fact that business is the way we think about the world. NPR doesn't have labor shows. It's got business shows, and that's NPR. So I think everything on the economic side reinforces journalists' economic conservatism, whereas it pushes in the opposite direction of their social liberalism.
Okay, let me ask you about the social liberalism for a second. So you feel confident that most journalists are, in fact, social liberals.
Well, look.
Is that like a feeling, or is that based on a poll?
I don't really trust the polls very much. There's one poll that that people are always waving around that 89% of Washington journalists voted for Bill Clinton in 1992. It's a bad poll, and I don't believe it. But I nevertheless think its thrust is probably accurate. Not the poll itself, it's consistent. Look, I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I used to live in DuPont Circle in Washington for 8 or 10 years. Everybody I know pretty much supports a woman's right to choose, supports gays' rights to marry and raise children. They support gun control. They support campaign finance. There's no dissension on these points. But like I said, these views are... journalists don't feel free to preach these views, in part because there's an enormous conservative structure ready to pounce on them if ever they hear them, but also in part because journalists want to be professionals. They want to be objective. In 1990, I believe, David Shaw of the LA Times published an enormous series, media criticism, in which he dissected the coverage of the abortion issue. And he felt that it leaned very far in favor of pro-choice advocates, that there was a lot of sort of coded messages and that the anti-abortion side or pro-life side was being treated unfairly. This series won a Pulitzer Prize from the so-called liberal media, and it had an enormous effect on people's perception of the coverage so that they tried to fix the problems that he identified. They weren't trying to secretly give out these messages the way conservatives imagine. They were trying to do their job. And yeah, sure, prejudices get involved in every report because the mere act of committing journalism is to invoke your own prejudices.
Now, let me ask you about a point that Bernard Goldberg makes. He says that when it comes to certain social issues, that liberals see their point of view as not being a point of view as much as just being a civilized way to think. On such issues as being pro-choice on abortion, being for gun control, being for gay rights, and being for feminism. Goldberg is saying liberal journalists don't see that as a political point of view much as they see it as just a civilized point of view to have, a point of view everybody should have.
Yeah, I think that was true in the 1960s and the 1970s. And I think, for instance... Barry Goldwater and Richard Nixon had a real problem with the media in that regard. But I think that the tide has turned. I think Goldberg is 20, 30 years out of date. And I think that journalists that conservatives who make this charge are either not paying attention or they're being deliberately strategic. One might even say dishonest, because it has such a powerful effect on journalists when they make this complaint. I'll tell you the truth. I think what conservatives really object to in the so-called liberal media is that they feel that the media are looking down on them. They feel that these guys like Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Peter Jennings, and by the way, that's really all Goldberg's book is about, and he'll say so. His book is about the three evening newscasts, and 72 pages out of 200 have the word Dan Rather on them, and none of them are very nice. I think what these people really object to is that they perceive a kind of condescension towards their lives on the part of the liberal media, the so-called liberal media. Not that it's not political, it's social and cultural. And I actually think they may be right about that. And there's nothing journalists can do about that. They do live in a different world. I mean, Dan Rather and Brokaw, they make $10 million a year, and they, you know, they worry about co-ops in Aspen and in the Caribbean. They don't worry about making payments in public schools and so forth. And I fear that my objection to this is that the conservatives, particularly on talk radio, but also on cable TV, they exploit this feeling and put it in the service of a economic and political agenda that actually hurts the interests of the people that they're alleged to be speaking for. I wish liberals could find their own populist voice and speak for these people and address their cultural concerns and put it at the service of a political agenda, which I feel would advance their interests rather than retard them.
In looking at whether the media has a bias, you say conservatives are extremely well represented in every facet of the media. Make your case on that.
Well, look, take a look at talk radio, which approximately 40 million Americans say they get their news from, and 15 to 20 million alone get their news from Rush Limbaugh. There's about as much ideological variety in American talk radio today as there was in the Soviet Communist Party of 1934 under Joseph Stalin. It's no joke to say that Bill O'Reilly is a liberal by the standards of American talk radio. And that's only because O'Reilly admits that global warming is taking place, but he doesn't think we should do anything about it. And he's against the death penalty because he thinks that criminals should suffer longer. He thinks death penalty is too nice. That's what a liberal is by talk radio standards. Now that Phil Donahue has been canceled, there is no liberal on cable TV with his own show. There are a few liberals who are play the liberal against a conservative. Except in the case of Crossfire, I would say most of these liberals are getting beaten up by the conservatives they're playing against. The conservatives are much tougher, much stronger, much more outspoken than the liberals that they're pitted against. So if talk radio is 100% far right, then cable TV is about 85% conservative, and it's very conservative. It's not just a little bit conservative. On broadcast TV, the only people who are empowered to give their opinions on a regular basis, as I can tell, are George Will and John Stossel of ABC News, both quite conservative. No liberals at all. If you look at print, if you look at the most articulate liberals in print, there's not as many of them as there are conservatives. The Washington Post has far more conservatives than they do liberals, for instance. The New York Times is a little bit more liberal than conservative. But almost all of the conservatives, I suppose the only exception I can think of off the top of my head is William Sapphire of well-known people, and that's because the Times has a policy on this. They don't allow their people to be regulars on TV. All the conservatives are on TV who write conservative columns. None of the liberals are. None of the well-known liberals, like I said, Hertzberg, Dionne, Paul Krugman, Richard Cohen, William Grider of The Nation, none of them have regular TV slots, but just about every conservative does. Robert Novak alone has more TV slots than all these guys put together. So I think that in the opinion media, and actually, to tell you the truth, I don't get all that much argument from conservatives on this. In the opinion media, it's almost entirely conservative dominated. And they have various reasons why this is the case. They say they're just better at TV and their talent pool is larger, and that's why. But the conservatives, as you can see with Goldberg, tend to make their case with regard to what they see as the biases of allegedly objective reporting because they know they have the opinion media sewn up, the punditocracy.
And do you agree with any of those charges that the reporters in newspapers or in broadcast have a liberal bias in their reporting?
No. I do, as I said, agree that they have socially liberal views. But I think that those views are stripped from most of the reporting. I mean, you can always find examples of this, either side of bias, if you spend all day looking for them. There's nothing, an organization like Brent Bozell's Media Research Center, which looks for this kind of thing on the right, and Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, which looks for it on the left, these people are not going to be out of work because it's impossible to denude yourself of biases. Like I said, the mere act of choosing what story you're going to present and from what perspective you're going to present it without even thinking about politics is an act of bias, and someone can tell you why that's biased. I argue in the book that the entire structure of business reporting is biased against labor. When the New York Times reports that corporations have reduced the cost of production, they're not paying attention to the fact that jobs are being shipped overseas, that these quote-unquote externalities like pollution are being downloaded onto the people in the communities, that workers are losing their health care, their pension rights, so forth. These would be stories that people that would be reported if the entire structure of the media were not biased towards business over labor. So even when we're not, I would make the argument that on economic news, the unspoken bias is definitely towards the right, and that on social issues like gay rights and abortion, there's an enormous effort on journalists to include people and points of view that they don't share, to the point where it's sometimes silly.
I think it's fair to say that in certain political stories, you think that the press tends to favor conservatives over liberals, Republicans over Democrats. As an example, you think that President Bush has received much easier coverage than President Clinton has.
Yeah, no question about that in my mind. And I also think that the coverage of the 2000 election was egregiously slanted against Al Gore in a way that even as someone who covered that, covered the media coverage of that election, not just the election, it was my beat, the media coverage, for both The Nation and MSNBC, but when I went back to look at it, I was shocked at how egregiously Al Gore's positions were manipulated and
Well, let me ask you about Gore. Do you think that was a result of a conservative bias or something more personal, that people just didn't like, people in the press didn't like Gore?
Well, I know that people in the press didn't like Gore. They hated Al Gore. It wasn't just didn't like him. There was an incident described in the book, I didn't see it, but it was reported in Time magazine, where during a debate between Gore and Bradley, the people in the press room actually stood up and screamed and jeered at the screen when Gore came on. I mean, you would think that they would at least try to hide it. I don't think it was ideological in the case with Gore. I think they hated Clinton. Clinton was incredibly charming in terms of the way he manipulated the press and seduced the press. But the day after Clinton became president, he shut the door of the White House and he decided he hated the press and he wanted nothing more to do with them. And they turned on him with an incredible degree of ferocity to the point where, you know, the president's sex life, which all presidents have had a right to in the past, became the most important issue that the country was facing in a way that the rest of the world just couldn't fathom it. I mean, here Ronald Reagan and George Bush Sr. and George W. Bush, the current president, have all felt empowered to lie to the nation about matters of war and peace. You can call it a lie, you can call it misleading, you can perhaps in the case of Reagan and maybe even George W. Bush, you can be charitable and say they're misleading themselves as well. But they're saying a lot of things that aren't true, and they were getting away with it then, and Bush is getting away with it now. Whereas with Bill Clinton, we basically stopped the entire business of the American government to impeach a man for saying something that millions of Americans have done, which is lie about adultery, and many presidents have done before him. Take the example of Whitewater. The Clintons lost $30,000 on a real estate investment. We spent $70 million investigating it. There were thousands and thousands of stories written about it. What about George Bush and Harkin Oil, where he made millions? That story came and went in 2 weeks. What about the fact that George Bush may have deserted his National Guard post for a year? We don't know what happened there. What about the fact that George Bush may have used cocaine? We don't know what happened there either. Now, personally, Terry, I have to tell you, I don't really care about any of these things. Whether or not George Bush did them years ago. I only care about what the president does while he's president. But if you compare the incredible amount of resources and energy and excitement that was poured into investigating Bill Clinton's past life, things that had nothing whatsoever to do with the presidency, and what George Bush was able to get away with before he was president and is able to get away with today, I don't see how you can conclude anything but that the press is much more sympathetic to a Republican conservative than they are to a moderate Democrat.
I don't want to make this about National Public Radio, which is the network that Fresh Air is on, but I would like to hear if you think that NPR has a political bias.
tell you what I think, Terry. I think that I don't think there are many conservatives working at NPR. I think most people at NPR are either liberals or just honest down-the-line journalists. And I think they try and do down-the-line journalism, and they're extremely sensitive, particularly since they're publicly funded, to this right-wing concerted attack on both NPR and PBS that's been going on for the past 20 or 30 years. So I think that, left alone, NPR probably would have a liberal bias. But I think NPR has been enormously sensitive and enormously careful as a result of this conservative attack. I think the conservatives actually have a right to declare victory vis-a-vis NPR because they've succeeded in getting their point of view well represented by people who don't share it. And NPR is sort of a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier, where social liberals, I imagine everybody at NPR feels basically the same way about abortion and gay rights and so forth. But I think it bends over backwards to be more than fair to conservatives. And I think this notion that I heard when I was on Bill O'Reilly's show last week, that, okay, the right has Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and Fox News and the Wall Street Journal, and the left has NPR, it's just ridiculous. Because NPR is specifically not in the business of political advocacy. It's in the business of trying to address all points of view. And to my mind, lately, it bends over too far to the right. When Bernard Goldberg was on, when his book came out a year ago, the discussion was between two conservatives and two mainstream journalists. No liberals were invited into that discussion, just the way it's done in the mainstream media. So I think that, and NPR has kind of a social and cultural bias, which it works hard to address, but it's in no way comparable to the naked and rather aggressive and open bias that is dominating the American discourse and coming from an extremely well-funded right.
Your book challenges the charges that there's a liberal bias in the media. Within your book, you also talk about another issue that a lot of journalists face, which is that a lot of newspapers, TV stations, radio stations are owned by large corporate interests. Do you think that that's an issue that affects news coverage?
Absolutely, Terry. I think there's relatively few examples of explicit corporate censorship of journalists, although there are some, and I talk about them in the book. They seem to. There's one that, involving Disney, or one or two involving Disney, they seem to be actually the people who do this the worst. There's some accusations about the 2000 election and Jack Welch and NBC, GE, that have never been proven, and they may or may not be true. But more important, I think they set a tone for journalists who know better than to go into certain areas, who know better than to write stories that are going to hurt their corporate parents. Michael Kinsley did us all the great favor of admitting that you should never look for an investigative story about Microsoft in Slate magazine. The same is true just about everywhere else. In terms of, you're not going to look for NBC to investigate GE. You're not going to look for Disney to investigate Disney. You're not going to look for the New York Post to investigate Rupert Murdoch. But it's actually worse than that, because there are 150 or so. I have no idea how many companies there are under AOL Time Warner. There's more than I can count. And they all have their own interests. And they all have executives who have girlfriends, who have friends. And it has an enormously chilling effect on journalists in the stories they choose to write and choose not to write. Something like 40% of journalists, and according to a Columbia Journalism Review survey, admitted to practicing self-censorship, mostly on this very issue, on not wanting to upset either advertisers or their parent corporation. So the fact that six companies, and this is no exaggeration, six companies control just about all of the media right now. And that's actually one reason why independent voices, believe it or not, like the New York Times and of course NPR, are so much more valuable. The fact that only six companies control so much of the media, it makes it that much more difficult for journalists to find stories that don't in some way involve their own corporation. And it leads to it leads in part to more pablum and more white bread reporting, and in part to emphasis on stories that are meaningless, tabloid-type stories about phony kidnapping of blonde-haired children and so forth, because these kinds of stories don't get anybody in trouble.
Eric Alterman is the author of the new book, What Liberal Media? He writes the Stop the Press's media column for The Nation. Earlier, we heard from Bernard Goldberg, whose book, Bias, argues that the news media have a liberal bias.